Welcome to the Shitposter.club Anime Review Podcast. I am Dad, your host. With me is Cool Boy Mew.
Hey, hey, hey.
Full Metal.
What's up?
And special guest Weeble.
Yo.
We're here to discuss the upcoming anime season, talk about games we've been playing, and one American cartoon that's quite inspired by Japanese cartoons, but we'll get into spoiler chat, so we'll do that at the end of the episode.
Yes, so let's start with the Winter 2024. So the first thing on the list already is Solo Leveling.
Yeah, sometime last year, Full Metal showed me this. It was pretty good, but while reading it, I got distracted by one of the other 9,000 other manga I'm reading at any time.
So can Full Metal talk about it, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, without getting too much into spoilers, like, essentially it's about, like, these gates open up in, like, the real world, not just in Korea, but all over the place. And, but it takes place largely in Korea. And these people sort of awaken to magical powers that make them stronger and give them magic, as opposed to, like, normal people that just don't have that. And each person has like a certain level they're ranked at, like S rank to E rank. And the main character is obviously E rank. And then they go into a dungeon and shit happens. A lot of people die. And then he reawakens with isekai superpowers, essentially. Like straight up like video game powers, like do this quest and get XP and then you'll level up, which is unheard of. For these people, like the hunters, they don't level up. They just, you either are strong or you're not.
Oh, you said these people. I thought you meant Koreans.
Yeah, just Koreans. No.
I was going to say, no, hunters. Koreans are obsessed with MMOs. What are you talking about?
No, no, I'm talking about the hunters. That's just what they call them. I'm pretty sure it was just hunters. It's a very generic name, but whatever. But that's basically the premise, is that this dude just gets, like, the ability to level up as where other people don't. Not normally.
Yeah, so his unique protagonist power is that he has the ability to slowly not suck anymore.
Yeah, so he quickly rises from, like, the worst rank to the top rank, which, you know, throws everyone for a loop.
Yeah, so it's better than the usual Korean webtoon, which is about characters entering an MMO IRL.
Yeah, it's story-wise, it's nothing crazy, but it's entertaining. I thought it was pretty fun.
Yeah, I liked the bit that I did read, so I'm looking forward to the animated version.
It doesn't take place in an MMO, which, you know, is kind of shocking, but it kind of has MMO aspects because, you know, Korea.
Right. And the main girl looks like Ellie from Xenogears.
A little bit.
Let me check that. Somewhat. But anyways, enough about that. Let's move on.
Yeah, what else we got?
So number two. So there's Classroom of the Elite Season 3. I still need to watch the last 3 episodes of Season 2.
I need to watch it at all.
I've actually caught up. I was looking forward to season 3.
Yeah, I watched it all too. But it was, fuck, when did the last season air? Like a while ago. So
it was like 2022, I think.
Yeah, it was pre-recent.
July of last year.
Compared to season 1, which was like forever ago.
It was like 5 years from before season 2.
Season 1 was 2017.
I think I might just be retarded, guys. Not to alarm you.
I mean, like, yeah. I don't know. If I get what you mean, because, like, it feels long for me, too. I don't know. It just feels like it's so much. It just kind of so much in one experience, and then you just kind of forget it. I don't know. Maybe I am retarded, too.
It's okay. We can be retarded together.
Aw. But yeah, it's very interesting. It's like, how do I say it? It's like this drama.
it's a school for sociopathic teenagers.
Yeah. So it's in this school of elite. It's just like this super sophisticated Japanese school where, you know, if you can make it, you're like guaranteed to become like a CEO, oil magnate, billionaire who will like facilitate like science travels. Like, you know, so like anyone who graduates is basically destined to like define eras, right? So you have all these people trying to compete with each other. And it kind of, the class we follow is class D, which is, and the classes go from A to D, and D being kind of the lowest the best.
Rene Descartes' favorite class.
Yeah. And so it follows this class trying to make it up the upper echelons of this school by any means necessary, whether whether they are more, you know, regardless of the morals about it.
There's another way to describe it. It's back at test, but serious.
One of the reviews for season 2 on AnnieList says, a show for teenagers who post intellectual quotes on social media faking intelligence.
Yeah, that's true. It's like Kakaguri, but without the gambling or the orgasm faces, so without the fun.
It's that, but all according to Kegaku.
According to Kegaku.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
One thing I liked about it was that, so, you know, with a lot of animes, it usually just kind of follows, like, the main character, right? Like, you know, they have the supporting characters, but they just kind of orbit around the MC and exist to, like, you know, further give the MC, like...
fellatio.
Development. Yeah, exactly. And so, one thing I like about this, I mean, it still kind of does that to an extent, but I feel like it puts more effort to actually, like, make the other characters, like... their own. So like you can kind of follow some of these characters and it shows like them and like their journeys on their own. The MC kind of like at the beginning, he's just kind of like there. He doesn't really care whether he graduates at the top of his class or not. And, you know, it kind of starts off that he's like forced into trying. But as it goes on, especially like season 2, I think like more of the characters kind of become their own and stuff. And I like that a lot.
It says the manga is still ongoing, although the light novel it's based on is finished.
No, it's not finished. It's continuing under another title because they're now on another year.
Oh, Classroom of the Elite Year 2. I see. Yeah, this is another series about mind games that I've been looking to get into for a while. I'll probably like it.
All right, Sue.
I can't speak too much, but I heard the manga is worse than the visual novel, but I can't say, like, personally, I've never seen both.
Light novel.
Yeah, light novel. No, I mean, but I heard there's a manga, too.
Yeah, it's possible. A lot of light novels usually get mangas, get anime, and then you never know which the anime is actually based on. Sometimes the manga, sometimes the light novel, etc.
It usually depends on which is more popular.
Yeah, that too.
So let's continue through the list. We got new season of Mashle.
Oh yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Season 1 was pretty good.
Mashle was fun.
It turned into a battle shonen, but it was pretty fun. So I'm hoping for more.
Yes, strength is better than intelligence.
I unga, therefore I boonga.
What's interesting is that the manga is completely finished, and we're getting a season 2, so I don't know. Hopefully they end up continuing the anime, and they'll finish all of it.
So on the next row, we have Dungeon Meshi, but do you care about the other two?
Nope, I have no idea about these two.
All right, Dungeon Meshi. The manga just ended a couple of months ago, so it's prime time to start an animated series. So this is a fantasy about a standard D&D party that enters a dungeon, but they have food problems, so they decide to take the monsters they fight and eat them. So it's part dungeon crawl, part food porn. It even has recipes for the fictional creatures that the characters eat, like slimes and dragons and shit.
By Trigger, by the way.
Oh, Trigger?
Really? Yeah, I just saw that. I was like, oh, I didn't know Trigger was animating this. This is cool.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of like, kind of reminds me of Made in Abyss, I guess, in that regard. Because I think Made in Abyss, they had a few, like, they had, like, some scenes where they kind of put emphasis on, like, what they were cooking and stuff, you know, in Rico's journal. But I guess this is more, a lot more lighthearted than Made in Abyss.
Yeah, no child torture here.
Yeah, I was going to say, why are you comparing this to this Made in Abyss?
It does have an emphasis on travel through dangerous areas and needing to find food along the way. But aside from that, this has nothing else in common.
I've never personally read or heard of it too much, but I've seen a lot of, like, my friends post about it, and I've heard, like, nothing but good things about it, so I'm excited. I was actually put this on my plan to watch for this season.
Yeah, the elf girl from it was best elf girl in anime until Frieza Ren came along and kicked her off her throne.
Damn.
All right, so next, did you watch season one of that Full Metal, I think?
Of which of one? What?
Jakushara Tomozaki, weakest characters, something like that, I think. Let me just open it to get the title. It's a bottom tier character, Tomozaki. No, you didn't watch this?
No, I don't remember this at all.
All right, so moving on then to Boku no Koko no Yabai Yetsu, second season. So season one of that was really, really good.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was pretty nice.
So compared to, like, most, a lot of trash romance anime, a lot of trash romance anime ends up always going, like, in circle. It goes nowhere. Episodes are samey. Not this. This was fresh from A to Z. The two main characters are pretty cute together, and they're both kind of like...
They're dorks.
Yeah, they're dorks.
That's perfect. The boy is an extreme chunibyo who needs a Genki girl to get him out of his bullshit.
Yeah, and the girl is like the opposite of anorexic.
Yeah, it's criminally thick how they drew this character. but yeah, I like the first season too.
It was great. So, more of it is welcome.
So, there's one I haven't seen anything about before, but it looks fascinating. It's the next one on the list, Yubisaki to Renren. Oh. Or a sign of affection in English.
What? Why talking about this one?
It has an interesting premise.
Sure, tell us about it. I didn't even read it. I saw the poster. I say nope.
Yeah, this looks like some boy band shit. Apparently, the main character is deaf. That's interesting. Yeah,
Yuki, a deaf college student, is struggling one day when an upperclassman from her school, Itsuomi, helps her out. Itsuomi isn't put off at all by her lack of hearing and interacts with her naturally. As he gradually opens up a new world to her, Yuki begins to develop feelings for Itsuomi. Wow. Thus begins the pure love story of Yuki, a deaf college girl, and Itsuomi, her upperclassman who travels the world with her.
All right, so I did not expect that.
I love how that's, like, this big selling point. It's like, this guy isn't immediately repulsed by the fact that she's disabled.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah? Is he supposed to be?
I mean, it's Japan.
Yeah, I keep that in mind. It is Japan.
Slightly different. Most people will look down on you with disgust.
I mean, I heard, like, even, like, wearing glasses, like, can be a turnoff for a lot of people.
Really?
And a fetish for others.
Yeah. Yeah, if there's anything I learned from Bayonetta is that some dudes are really into that.
But I'm fascinated by the idea of disabled protagonists. Like, how do they even function?
Isn't it like, what was that one movie? You know, the deaf girl, she got bullied by that guy, and like, they kind of reconcile that. I think it was Sound of Silence, or no?
Silent Voice.
Yes, that's the one.
Silent Voice, yep.
Yeah, plus with Ranking of Kings, we have a deaf-mute protagonist.
I mean, those were... I mean, those were pretty good, so maybe, I mean, this could be good too. This one's a lot more, I guess, lighthearted.
Yeah, I'll give it a chance. What else we got on the upcoming season?
Blue Exorcist. Another, yeah, I was just going to say Blue Exorcist. I didn't even know that was coming out. Is this supposed to be a redo, or is this a second
season? No, this is season two.
Why?
Why not? Look.
I've never heard a single good thing about this show.
What are you talking about? I only hear people
bitch about it. I don't know. I've only ever heard people talk shit about it.
I love it.
I've never seen it.
I love season one. The problem with season one is that it's one of those shows that ends with a filler arc. As if they were not supposed to do season two. But then we actually get proper season two that completely ignores the filler arc. And then we get season three, so I'm pretty excited. Apparently the manga sells a lot in Japan, so it's kind of weird that we haven't gotten that it takes so long to get all these fucking seasons. Also,
dude, season one started in 2011. Jesus.
Yeah, it's been a long fucking time ago. And also, every single season is by a different studio. That is weird.
That's also a bad sign.
That's because I think nobody wants to fucking do it. Is the problem?
Yeah, but they're all good. They're all fucking good so far. I don't know what the problem is. I was even reading the manga at some point, but I got annoyed because I got them in French, and they were translated in France, and they used very French word choices, and I was like, why did I do this? And I stopped reading the manga.
So can you sell me on Blue Exorcist? Like, what makes you enjoy it?
I don't know. It just fucking solid. You gotta fucking watch it. But yeah, so basically, you have these two twins that are living with some priest, and something starts happening to the delinquent twin. Let me get the name, because it's been so fucking long between the season. Yeah, Rin. So Rin is unlucky, and he always gets into fight. He barely can keep a job. However, his twin brother Yukio is like a freaking genius. And then Rin just starts seeing like spirits one day. And that's where all hell gets loose, literally, because it just turns out that both of them are the son of Satan.
Okay.
All right. Sure. We'll go with that.
And it just turns out that Terin apparently... it's him that inherited all the... it's only him that's apparently a half demon or something like that, and he had his power sealed for years. So do I continue? Because I mean, it's an early spoiler, but this is like a big...
I mean, it's been out for a long time.
Yeah. So basically, the priest that adopted them, it just turns out that he's a top tier exorcist, but he dies in the process of protecting Rin. And so Rin, being like the son of Satan, is a fucking danger. So and condition that he gets to live, he has to become an exorcist. So he goes to an exorcist school. And it just turns out that Yukio, his twin brother, is his teacher.
Okay, sure.
Annie List is comparing it to Jujutsu Kaisen, Fire Force, Soul Eater.
I mean, it's a battle shonen, so, but yeah, this is pretty good. Season one was pretty great. Season two came way after, and in my opinion, it was fantastic. All right, so Blue Exorcist, I'm really excited for this, and I hope they don't fuck this up, because it's been golden so far, and I can't believe... Yeah, but this too, apparently it sells a lot in Japan, but nobody ever fucking talks about it. So I don't know.
All right, I'll add it to my planning to watch list, so maybe I'll get to it in 20 or 30 years.
Sure.
Right.
All right, so the next one is a season two. I haven't seen it. Oh, yeah, it's banished from the hero party. I decided to live a quiet life, yada, yada. Apparently, this one's been decent. I don't know. But I haven't seen it, so I have nothing to say about it.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, right, I got nothing.
All right, so moving on, we have something by Silver Link. You all know how much I like my Silver Link shit, so I'm watching this. It's Dosanku Gol wa Namare Menkoi. Hokkaido girls are super adorable. So yeah, this is gonna be some waifu shit.
Hell yeah, that's what we're in for.
Gyaru's
Yoda. Yeah, Gyaru 94% an annulus. Oh yeah, that's gonna be good.
Well, if that's your shit.
Yeah, let me read the description. Snowflakes aren't the only things dropping in Hokkaido, so are Jaws, thanks to the super adorable gals who are turning the icy north into a hotbed of fashion and fun. Brace yourself for a winter storm of laughs, love, and killer outfits as these gals prove that being cute is an all-season affair. Here, frostbite means fashionista.
That tells me nothing, but whatever. Yeah. Who's I'm sold.
It tells me cute girls doing cute things.
Yeah, definitely going to watch some of this.
All right, so moving on. Majo to Yetsu. I don't know. Not picking this up. I'm trying to pick less this season, but I say this every fucking season. But
this seems like a smaller season to me.
Yeah, so. and thank God. So yeah.
Might give Mew the opportunity to watch all the shit I've been recommending him the past few years.
No, I need to play my analog duo more, and I need to update the fucking website.
All right. Yeah, we do need a website.
All right, so nothing.
Another one, Metallic Rouge, looks good.
Yeah, but it's by Bones, so it's Bones, like... it's Bones' next attempt at another fucking Evangelion maker, maybe? Because Bones have been trying to make, like, original shows for like, fucking decade, and most of them kind of fucking sucks. No, Eureka 7 is not fucking good. It's basically... It's Evangelion, but really stretch and nothing happens.
Yeah, they animated Mob Psycho and My Hero Academia, but I'm not seeing much of interest.
Yeah, but these are adaptations. Bones original shit just kind of fucking sucks. This one, I've seen the PV. It looks like Licorice Recoil, maybe. Except there's mecha for God knows whatever reason, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It looks like, I saw the PV too. It just looks like Licorice Recoil, but, you know, with mechas.
Yeah, might be good.
Yeah.
I'll give it a chance.
Recoil, so.
But I'm hoping that Bones ain't gonna bones as usual.
Wait, you say you didn't like Licorice Recoil?
No, I loved
it. I did not care for it. Mew fucking loved it. I didn't care for it.
Yeah, it was his anime of the season when it came out.
Yeah, he was like 10 out of 10 best thing ever, and I was like, it's like a 5 or a 6.
Oh, wow. Wait, why didn't you like it?
That's because the gun artist. And it was triggering his fucking autism trap.
It was, and also I didn't really find the characters very interesting. Also, they made my nigga gay.
Oh yeah. Oh, is that, wait, do you have like gun autism, CV, because you can't own one?
No, I don't. I'm not American.
I have gun autism because I'm an American.
Yeah, I mean gun autism. So Full Metal was like complaining about scenes where like guns can do that. No, it can. And I called him a gun autism. Of course, the
dude from the USA gun autism. You can't shoot somebody with a 9mm pistol from halfway across a fucking city. That doesn't make any goddamn sense.
You can't.
Okay, guys. Okay, sure. She can have like triple F cups. And you know, still have that, but you know, God forbid, like the 9mm reloads or like 9 bullets instead of 8 or whatever.
Yeah, I'm glad you understand, Weeble.
Full Metal, you need to read this manga. It's extreme gun autism in isekai form.
I think you've mentioned it before. Yeah. I think I know the one you're gonna.
It has.
Is that the one where
too.
The guy's like, "Oh, John Moses Browning was basically God."
I can't remember if he specifically praises John Browning, but yeah, he enters a fantasy world and he uses his knowledge of guns combined with some magical liquid metal that can take any shape to carefully construct automatic rifles, and he kills bad guys with them. And he gets married like four times. Yeah, I'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah, see, the problem is reading manga. I can't read because I'm retarded and lazy.
All right, so next, there's a classroom isekai, and I'm not picking this up.
Yeah, but there's more Urusei Yatsura, which everybody loves.
Oh, of course.
Why is that like a new thing? Is like isekaiing an entire fucking class?
I don't know. There's isekai everything, so whatever the fuck. I don't know the studio. I gotta maybe watch the PV to see if it's gonna be good or not. But like I look at it and I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, isekai gimmicks will continue until morale improves.
So more Urusei Yatsura. Season 1 of that was pretty fucking good. It was really well animated.
It was the perfect mixture between old anime style and new. It just had a really unique look to it.
And we watched one of the old movies recently, and it didn't feel out of place. I mean, I watched the new thing, and then I watched the old thing, and it was just fine. So that means the good fucking remake.
Yeah, how is it compared to, like, the original one? Because, I mean, I've heard good things about the new one.
It compares very well. You can tell the people who made the new one watched a ton of the old one as reference material, but it seems they had a genuine fondness for it as well.
Yeah, it's extremely high quality, and I might just save them up to watch them with Moon, as we did for the last season.
But it's basically like a reboot remake, right? Not. I mean, I know the original wasn't exactly like a plot thing, but yeah.
Yeah, I think it's more accurate to the manga, except that they went through the beginning very fast to introduce. As much character as possible early.
Yeah, the movie we watched, it had some really cool animation on the spaceships and shit, because the movie's from 1983. But, the movie we watched was really good, and if you've seen the new one, you can instantly know what's going on. There's barely any changes story-wise.
Next, another fucking isekai. Anyone watching this?
No.
Nope.
Nah. So, alright, so next we have a comedy romance.
Which one are you looking at? Is it Uroka no Tenshi?
Yes, I'm reading the synopsis to see if I want this, and then there's apparently like demon and angels, and I'm interested. Maybe.
All right. Someone want to read the synopsis?
Let's not read all the synopsis. Let's save this for the actual
sure.
episode when we've seen things. So this is just like to get a feel of what's actually airing next season.
Okay. Oh shit, the next row we have a villainous series. Mew has got to watch it.
Oh, Rejo, so level 999, what the shit. Yeah, maybe I'll watch it, but first there's something that's adventure comedy etchy. Maybe. It's hard to talk about the rest because I haven't seen anything of that. So let's move on. Gekai Elise, Nozo Manu. Does that ring any bells from anyone?
No. I just realized I read the manga of what the isekai we skipped, the one right after Urusei Yatsura.
Oh, so is this good?
It was mediocre.
So that's a skip then.
Like most isekais.
Yeah, it's a healing anime with no rape in it. So
that's the best thing you can say about an isekai, I guess.
We're talking no about rape, the Chiyumo. So yeah, so that's a skip then. So all right, so we're now at Mao Shoujo ni Akugarete. Jones has been hyping this, and it's ecchi comedy and Mao Shoujo. I am so watching this.
Yeah, the English title is gushing over magical girls.
Yeah, apparently, if I recall correctly, it's there's some girl who is basically a major fangirl of the magical girl protecting her city, and then she becomes a villain for some reason
and makes lewd faces.
Yes, because now she can she can probably abuse the magical girl that she's been gushing over.
All right, I don't see anything else this season that.
Wait. We have a high card season 2.
Oh, I saw a couple episodes of the first season and then lost interest, but the animation was pretty good.
I have to say that my interest dropped a bit as the season went, but it still was pretty good, I think. So, here's to season 2.
Yeah, there's a lot of things on here. I'll give the one episode chance.
And then I'm going to say the same thing as you say. Nothing much is ringing any bell for like everything else. Oh, there's a
movie for My Nigga Kongming.
Well, wait. There is a Sensuality Noir Part 2. So yeah, I still haven't finished season 1, but so far it's actually pretty decent. It's actually based on a game that is going to release eventually, and I don't know, I just thought it was decent. I'll finish it for sure so that I can watch part 2.
Oh, Full Metal, this is a compilation movie.
Yeah, I saw that. I was disappointed.
It'll feature new footage and some of Eiko's performances.
Yeah, lame.
Not worth it.
Nah.
I want new material.
And let's keep the leftovers that are continuing for maybe the episode we'll actually talk about the season.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
The only other thing I'm seeing here that interests me is Great Pretender Season 2, which I don't think you guys watched that, but I did. I liked it.
I did.
I saw Great Pretender.
Oh, yeah? Did you like it?
It was kind of meh, to be honest. Like, it just kind of felt like a watered-down Lupin.
I don't know. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Well, okay, no. What I didn't like was... I guess the ending in particular, like the ending heist, because, okay, like...
The ending heist was kind of lame compared to the rest.
Especially because, like, the tone is so weird, because... Okay, so, you know, it's kind of like this... Like, the tone is very, like, Lupin the Third-esque, where it's more, like, comedic a bit... More comedic, like, oh, haha, we tricked these bad guys. But then, like, these people are... But the guys they're going against are, like, actual, like, child traffickers. So it's kind of weird to be like, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that was like so weird. And like, you see pictures of them like kidnapping like kids from like Indonesia and shit. And it's like, oh my God, we can't wait to get these guys out of their money and shit. Like, you know, I don't know. Like, the tone was very off. And like, to see, like, I don't know. I don't want to spoil it too much, but yeah.
This wacky comedic child slavery. Although that's what the new storyline is in Shield Hero.
I haven't watched Shield Hero. Yeah, season 2 was dog shit. I don't want
to. Yeah, I did not like that part, but the manga is doing some potentially interesting things. I'll just say that.
I hear it gets better, but it's like, do I really want to suffer through the rest of season 2? Because it was terrible.
No, you don't. You just skip that shit.
All right, so let's keep the rest, the leftover thing for like next season. Before we move on, any of that Weeble, like any title you're seeing there, you're reading the manga of, maybe?
I mean, the only other things I like recognize is the Madoka Magica movie and the Yuri Yuri movie, but that's it. Anyone excited for the Madoka movie at all?
Oh, no, yeah, yes.
I'm not. Yeah. The original series was perfectly self-contained. I freaking loved it.
No. The second, more like the third movie, but like the actual movie sequel was fucking great. The new TV show, the spin-offs fucking sucked. Because it was like a gacha storyline bullshit that is never fucking good. And the main man that makes the series what it actually is, Gen Urobuchi, or also known as Urobutcher, was not fucking there, and it fucking showed. There was no suffering, there was no immediate consequences, there was no fucking crying, there was nothing.
There was no suffering, no crying. I can't enjoy this.
Yeah, Madoka, we all know an anime can't be good unless a child is suffering.
No, but I mean that's what like the original was.
Yeah,
and I've seen a bunch of Gen Urobuchi stuff, and he has like this very specific fucking style of writing. Of writing non-black and white situation, of writing absolute fucking misery.
And yeah, I still need to watch Psycho Pass.
Just amazing. And then when you remove the man from that kind of work, it just becomes a fucking disaster because nobody can match him. So it just become like a fucking aimless bullshit that he cannot have her hope of matching the original. So, as far as I'm aware, this has been apparently written like fucking 7 years ago. He's been telling that Shaft has been like just sitting on the script for forever, and they're finally releasing it. So I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, like... So, I mean, I agree with you, CB. Like, I think like the third movie was like good on its own, but I wouldn't say it's like... It was necessary despite that. Like, you know, I guess the way I recommend movie 3 is like, if you liked like the original Madoka anime and you're like, man, I love this, but I want a little bit more, like a little parting snack, then like watch movie 3. But otherwise, I just tell people just watch the anime and that's it. Cause I mean, I don't think I've never heard anyone bring up anything Madoka afterwards. It's been like, over a decade. And yeah, no, I don't even hear anyone talk about anything else.
I don't know. The movie was fucking great. It was a worthy sequel, even if it was not needed. And hopefully, I will be able to see the same of that new movie. And by the way, Omura did nothing wrong.
Of course.
Well, Pergus Nacht did nothing wrong.
So, have any of y'all seen like Yuri Yuri at all?
Nope, I've only seen the episode that I've seen with you, but I don't know why we stopped. You tried to do like a mumble thing while watching, and Concentrating on the Japanese, on the animation, on the sub, and talking in English at the same time is not something I can do.
Too much brain power.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, you have this much weeb power and you can't even do that? Shameful.
I have ADHD and I'm ESL. Give me a break.
I've only seen these girls in wacky reaction pics.
So I was unfortunate enough to actually have watched Yuri, I guess a bit when it was like at its peak, right? I've seen most of it. I don't know. It's kind of like similar to like Lucky Star in that way. You know, it's just kind of like Moe girls doing like funny stuff. Yeah, I guess this looks like more of that. I think she was one of my favorites. So I'm kind of excited. I might give it a watch. This girl in particular, the middle child. She's this, how do I say it? Like, idiot girl. Like, so she has like a short temper, kind of a tsundere, and like her gimmick is that her and like this big boobed, 12-year-old, like fight and bicker constantly despite being childhood friends. So I guess this is like her and her sisters doing some cute shit. I mean, like, yeah, if you like something like Lucky Star or just other moe shit, you'll like Yuri.
I need more fighting and killing in my Japanese cartoons. Sorry,
yeah,
Weeble.
Moe is not my thing. But it's clearly somebody's, because they make a shitload of it.
Yeah, it's gigantically popular.
I don't think they have. The last one they did was a couple of years ago. At least, like, oh, I think it was an OVA, but they haven't made a series in years.
Not specifically Yuri Yuri, but Moe in general.
Yeah, it's there was popular. An OVA in 2019.
Eons ago.
This is weird because it's 8 years after the original series.
2019 was 30 years ago. Do you feel old yet?
All right, let's talk about, is there anything else from the upcoming season you want to talk about before we go on?
Nope.
Weeble, Full Metal, you got anything?
Nope.
Nah.
All right, I want to talk about the live action Yu Yu Hakusho.
Sure.
So this is a mixture of several story arcs. Like, I'll avoid spoilers even for stuff that happens in the first episode, but I'll just say, I don't think it works very well. This feels like the greatest hits of Yu Yu Hakusho.
Yeah, they bull rush through the fucking story. I watched the whole live action show.
Oh, yeah.
It's 5 episodes.
Well, each episode's an hour long, but yeah, it's nowhere near long enough to cover all the stuff it's trying to cover. Because you like the Dark Tournament saga? Here's a tiny piece of it.
Yeah, here's just, like, the shit end of it. It's like, okay.
You like the Spirit Detective saga from the start? Here's a little piece of it, and that's all you're getting. Plus, the costumes look freaking ridiculous. Like, most anime characters IRL. Yeah, but, okay, Yusuke looks all right.
It really did come off as cosplay, but it's like, I mean, they did all right.
Yeah, but Yusuke looks all right, but most of the characters look just like homeless people who put on rags at Goodwill and then a few gallons of hairspray in their hair. It just does not convert well to live action. But what I did like is the fight scenes.
Yeah, not half bad, actually.
Yeah, it's so low down and dirty. Like, the characters get cuts and bruises and mud and dried blood all over their bodies and clothes. They're crawling on the ground and gasping for air. It feels like real street fights.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked at how well they did that.
Yeah, but then it just turns into CG Marvel movie nonsense. And I watched the whole thing, but I was not quite as interested as in the first episode where Yusuke's fighting that parasite insect on a construction site, and he's grabbing traffic cones and clay pots and a bicycle to use as weapons and shields.
Was good.
Yeah, Jackie Chan would be proud of this.
Yeah, I did watch that, and the whole time I'm thinking, damn, this really feels like a Jackie Chan movie. Like, they really did it.
Yeah, and despite
it kept my amusement throughout the entire show, but I think that's just because I'm such a fan of Yu Yu Hakusho that I'm like, oh, I remember that. I get what they're going for.
Yeah, same but here.
It, like it, as a standalone thing, it's not a replacement at all.
Yeah, it's nowhere near as good as the live action One Piece. So I would say skip this. Whether you like the original or not, this is not that good.
Unfortunate. But how does it compare to, like, the bad ones?
Like, it isn't god-awful or anything. It's not, like, offensive to watch. It's just, like, it just is.
Yeah, it's just, it's not bad. It's just unnecessary.
So it's watchable to maybe, like, okay.
Yeah. If you're a fan of Yu Yu Hakusho, you might get some enjoyment out of it, but it's not, like, necessary whatsoever.
You'll say, hey, there's the fat guy who kidnapped Hiei's sister. Whoop, he's gone. It's shit like that. Do you ever see that live-action Full Metal Alchemist movie? It's
no,
kind of on that level.
Fucking no.
So is it like Yu Yu Hakusho, but very, very fast?
Yeah, and it's... Kind of? It skips way, way too much.
Yeah, they showed, like, 40 episodes into one episode or something.
Kinda. Like
it's about
they'll
right.
take an entire arc and condense it to half an episode.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's too and much
like,
even
Yusuke's
compared
like,
to
like
the
training
one.
Arc with Genkai. Genkai?
Yeah,
that was condensed to like half an episode. And in the anime that was like a whole thing.
Yeah, it was like 12 episodes and it was really cool. It was all the shit he had to do to get stronger. It wasn't just a time skip it was here.
Yeah, that's what I like about Yu Yu Hakusho is it, like the characters actually feel like they earn their upgrades. It isn't just new season, new powers.
Yeah, I like the original a lot, and I know Mew's never gonna watch it because it's freaking long. But if you liked Hunter x Hunter, then you'll probably like the original.
It is on my bucket list as a Hunter x Hunter fan. I do want to see Yu Yu Hakusho. And,
it's so good, dude.
Yeah. Let's watch a little bit of it for a anime night sometime. Just the tip. It won't hurt.
one thing I did notice about the live action, no molestation, which was fairly prevalent in the original series. Keiko got her titties grabbed a lot.
Yeah, there's no sexual harassment comedy.
Yeah. It was the style at the time.
Anyway, awkward silence over. Let's continue.
All right, so I got the Analog Duo. Unfortunately, I didn't try too many games because I got it when I was sick. I was sick for a few weeks. But I got to play some stuff, so... First, I had to figure out what to use exactly to burn these Garam cities because some program won't actually burn Turbo CDs properly.
So this is a TurboGrafx-16, also known as the PC Engine, remade with new hardware, right?
With FPGA.
Oh, when I was a kid, I saw the TurboGrafx-16 at Toys R Us. My mom took me there once in a while. They had a kiosk where you could play Air Zonk, this pretty good shoot 'em up.
That's worth like more than like $200, $1,000 that game alone.
Just at the time I remember thinking there's no way my poor ass family could afford one of these.
The library is super expensive. I have a few U cards. I actually bought my favorite one on eBay not long ago. I had to pay something like $40, $50 for it alone, but I like that shmup. It's Psychosis, but I bought the Japanese version, Paranoia. So I can't wait for it to arrive. But meanwhile, I mean, I don't have a flash card. And there's no jailbreak yet, but you can just burn your own CD. So I've been enjoying Turbo CD games. I've actually finished one. It's a shmup called Rigsember 3. This one is actually pretty fucking lenient because every stage is separated in three sections, and there's a checkpoint at every section, and every section gives you power up on death, and you can even continue in the section. So you just have to play until you finish it. But it kicked ass. It was really fun to play, and the soundtrack is amazing.
Wait, could you explain like what this duo is to someone whose only video game like experience is Sims 3?
Okay, so
it's like a halfway point between the NES and Super NES.
Yep.
When did it come out? 1989, but it was really advanced hardware for the time. There's a ton of shoot 'em ups on this system, so because you can have so many objects on screen at once with little or no slowdown.
Yeah,
it had Bonk's Adventure and some other stuff. But
if I recall correctly, it's more powerful than the NES because it actually has like two 8-bit processors or something like that instead of just one.
Yeah, I remember advertisements in the early 90s calling it a 16-bit system, but some people would argue over that because
it's
two 8-bit processors put together equal a 16-bit. No, yeah, it doesn't, but it's better than one.
So yeah, it's like a more, I guess, a modern, up-to-date system to play like these older games.
Basically an FPGA, what is it? Is that companies actually use these to prototype chip. Basically, it's a reprogrammable CPU. So usually companies have a CPU that does something. They prototype it in an FPGA, and then they send that to production. Now, not super powerful FPGA chips are actually somewhat affordable. Like, the FPGA in this is probably between, like, $80 to $100. So this is why not everything just use FPGA that's just reprogrammable. Because it's not cost-effective in general. But, you know, for a niche product like this, it's perfect.
And yeah, then I remember when the patent for the NES hardware expired in, like, 2009. And then you started seeing all these bootleg NES hardware systems coming out at that time.
Oh, yeah. I saw a clone, an open source clone on the net that actually used the original chips that were like left over from somewhere. That was interesting. But anyways, not much to about it. For the full review, just watch GameSack or something for the hardware review. But unfortunately, I haven't played much more game than that because, well, I was sick. I played a bit of Tengai Makyo Viria, which is
That's an RPG series, right?
Yes. It's actually a series that's been big in Japan in the past, and we've gotten almost none of the game except, like, thing for the fighting game, and that's it. And that was translated, like, that released like 2-3 weeks ago. So yeah, I expected it to be a little bit more advanced, but it's basically Dragon Quest with a coat of paint. Like a big coat of paint, because it has CD audio, it has like animated portrait, it has a lot like of nice graphical touch up to it, but it's basically Dragon Quest.
Yeah, I'm looking over the list of games for this system, and I just came across this really cool pinball game I remember playing.
Oh, yeah, Alien Crush. I played a bit of this, but honestly, this one is kind of basic. Though the one game you really want to play is Devil's Crush.
I played that, too.
Yeah, it's one of the best fucking pinball game ever made. I want to own the cart, but even the Japanese version is worth like $200.
Yeah, there was a recent game on Steam that had a similar aesthetic, like pinball with this weird, gross monster shit in it.
Yeah,
I can't remember the name.
I talked about it, I think, because I got it from Limited Run Games. But anyways, that's about it for that. Maybe I review more games in the future, but yeah.
Sure.
I've been sick, so I just wasn't feeling it.
It's all right. I've been playing a pretty rad game recently.
Sure.
It is called Tevi.
Yeah, but didn't you talk about it?
I barely played it last time we talked. I got more.
All right, so talk more about it.
So this is a Metroidvania, but every fight is bullet hell. Like, even the minor enemies you fight will shoot hundreds of bullets. It's just that the bosses shoot thousands of bullets. But what sets it apart from other Metroidvanias is it gives you tons of attack options. So you have physical attacks with multiple combos available, and you can switch between them in the middle of other combos. It has a system where you can cancel them and do other interesting things with them. But every single individual combo can be enhanced or altered with accessories. And a big part of this game is about accessories. It gives you hundreds of them, and you can pick like half of them. Each one's worth a certain number of points. And as you level up, you get more points to equip these accessories to. And they give you so many freaking options. It's freaking great. So you have two orbiting laser minions, and they're both these characters who join your bunny girl on her quest. But each one of these laser characters has three different types of long-range attacks, as well as super attacks that can block enemy projectiles, and there's variations within those. And each and every one of those can be enhanced and altered with accessories. And I haven't even got into the bombs. There's different types of those. I was dropping bombs everywhere like a Metroid game looking for secrets. It's paid off a few times. The story, it's pretty generic. It's a rabbit girl goes on adventures and encounters wacky people along the way, and animal people are oppressed by humans for no good reason. Yeah, it's another one of those. But the gameplay is freaking fantastic. I was having a blast just exploring new areas, looking at the great sprite work. And each boss has different gimmicks. Some of them are just characters the same size as you, and you have to smack them a few thousand times. But one of them, it's this mad scientist guy who he appears in the middle of the screen, and he's invincible temporarily, but he has these four pods on each corner of the screen, and you have to smash those to make him vulnerable. The whole time he's shooting waves of bullets at you. It's just freaking great. There's also a boss with the same voice actor as Dio who throws a steamroller at you. Yes, that is a JoJo reference.
Yep.
Nice.
And I like the previous game in the series, Rabby Ribby, so much that I bought this one immediately. Didn't wait for a sale, and it was worth it. It took me 21 hours to complete it, but I did almost all of the side quests. It's a great game. I can strongly recommend it. I know previously I said Void Stranger was Game of the Year, but this one's a strong contender. Like, Void Stranger is one of those weird-ass games with so many layers of crazy shit to it that you never quite know if you've experienced it all, but this one's a very high quality, very highly polished Metroidvania. So, strong recommend for Tevi.
Sure.
All right. So, Full Metal Weeble, you got anything before we move on to Symbionic Titan?
Nah.
Nope.
All right, let's talk about it then. So let's we'll do a brief no spoilers talk, and then I'll give a warning for the listeners.
All right, so present the cartoon Weeble.
Oh boy. Okay. So Symbionic Titan is an action cartoon that aired on Cartoon Network in 2010. It was made by the beloved Genndy Tartakovsky, known for shows like Samurai Jack and Dexter's Laboratory. And it follows these three characters, Lance, Alana, and Octus. All three are aliens from this planet called Galiluna, and they've had to escape this planet as it's been taken over by an enemy alien race. And so they are currently in hiding on Earth, and it follows them trying to stay hidden while also battling monsters and what other stuff that comes in their way.
Yeah, they tried to disguise themselves as ordinary Earth high school students, but, you know, two of them are aliens and one is a robot, so they have trouble acclimating. And they're all also fighting to defend the Earth from alien invaders. So it's a mixture of the high school slice of life and big, giant robot action.
Yeah, it does feel very anime in that aspect.
It feels very, like, 80s, like, especially watching it now than versus when I was a kid. Like, you know, a lot of the high school aspects remind me of, like, shit like Breakfast Club. Like, very, and, you know, it's very, like, on the nose in that regard.
Yeah, makes sense.
And then, like, the action parts are very, like, obviously, it's very, like, anime inspired. They have the anime mechas, and you have, like, the kaijus looking like something out of Godzilla or something.
Yeah, it's very old school in that aspect. There's been years of, like, super robot anime, so...
Yeah, that shit goes back to the 60s.
Yeah, and this cartoon is the really giant robot autism. The transformation in episode one is actually long and complex.
They don't do that every time they transform.
No.
Which I like. Because, like, sometimes that gets annoying. It's like, alright, we get it. I've seen this scene 1,000 times.
Yeah, but it's sad that they didn't do it, like, fully... another time. However, they seem to like to how to say they seem to be shuffling the scene that they will show you in the transformation, so it's not like the same shit you're seeing every time.
Yeah, it's not like in Sailor Moon where it shows you five transformation sequences to eat up runtime and cycle animation.
You don't talk shit about the Sailor Moon transformation. They're still one of the best Mahou Shoujo transformations.
They still look good. I won't deny that. But after you've seen them over 9,000 times.
No, they were some of the hypest fucking shit about Sailor Moon because they were so garm good.
At least, like, the transformation here, even, like, when it did, even the full one was, like, you know, like, 30 seconds, but I think this, well, Sailor Moon is a little longer than that, right? Like, probably, like, 40, 50?
No, the transformation themselves are actually, like, about 10-ish, 10-ish shogun each. They're actually really short.
Yeah, sometimes they speed them up, too, if I recall correctly.
I don't remember particularly. I don't know if they show like all of them every time though.
Yeah, I need to rewatch that whole series. Maybe I'll just read the manga. Anyway, Symbionic Titan. I wasn't sure what to expect when Weeble said she was gonna play this, but I got a cool mixture of like 80s high school comedies and big robot action, and I ended up liking it quite a bit.
Octus, best boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Octus. He's great.
He's immune to charm spells.
So I remember seeing commercials for this show growing up, but I just didn't have any interest in it, and I didn't know anybody else who watched it. So the only thing I saw from it was that the dance scene where the cheerleader girl danced for Octus and shanked her ass. That was pretty viral on like 4chan and shit back in the day.
Yeah, I've seen it on 4chan.
So I had never seen
that.
That's
where I saw it.
Yeah, I know.
I've seen that. That got posted in like every WebM thread. And it just, like, people would point out that's from a children's cartoon. I'm like, what the fuck?
Man, the things like a PG rating could get you back in the day.
Yeah, it really was wild what you could get away with just PG. It's like,
yeah, it's,
I mean, she's not doing anything too saucy, but at the same time, it's like,
I had a friend who would leave the room every time it came on.
Too naughty.
Coward.
He was like, I don't know how I feel about this.
It's called puberty. You're entering it.
Yeah. I think I need to go in the bathroom for about 20 minutes.
So I don't know when, like, I kind of got nostalgia for it just cause, it's like, just to touch on a little bit, but you know, right now we're kind of in a very dry spot in terms of like action cartoons in the West, with kind of like TV dying and streaming coming up, it's kind of a lot harder to see like really kind of classic action shows. And when I say classic action shows, I mean like ones where like there is a big focus on like the fight scenes and stuff. Cause you have like, you know, kind of action comedies like where, oh, you know, like they kind of do a little like, you know, a scene of where they punch and stuff, but like no real like emphasis on that, you know, something like, you know, I guess Ben 10 in that regard. Right. But, and I remember like Symbionic Titan fondly in that because I was like, that was kind of like the last year or like around that time was like the last year you really saw like a lot of like good ones and like ones that really tried to stick with that. And, that's kind of why I wanted to show it off a little bit.
Yeah, it was actually pretty fucking good, so I liked it.
Yeah.
I was
not really expecting to like it, and I watched it, and I'm like, damn, this shit's kind of tight.
Yeah, I was enraptured by the action scenes. They look so freaking good. It's the perfect mixture of hand-drawn and CG, and... because we get to know these characters in their daily lives. There's real stakes to each fight that they have. And when bad things happen, it's like you can actually feel for them.
It was really solid. And once the character got introduced, they did like interesting thing with them. And it really sucks they suddenly got one season.
Yeah,
I thought that was kind of criminal, especially how it ended. Not to get into spoilers yet, but I was like, damn, this sucks.
I want more.
Yeah, sorry, guys. Really expensive. It's expensive. Like, action cartoons are one of the most expensive to produce. That's why a lot of the ones, especially like in the 80s and 90s, were usually had toy tie-ins.
Yeah, but Ben 10 got like fucking 7.
Bro, like the toys were like bankrolled CN. Like, it is one of their biggest moneymakers. It's like their equivalent of SpongeBob. It makes so much money.
Do a lot of kids still buy toys?
Nope.
No. Nope.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Internet has like, replaced almost all toys.
Yeah, all the relatives I have that are kids, they just play on their iPads and shit.
Are they becoming retarded? Because apparently it's
they're
very...
illiterate and they don't have any critical thinking skills.
No, it's kind of sad, you know. So like. I work at a store where I see a lot of like moms and stuff, especially during Christmas. And you know, I just kind of big small
talk. The dildo store.
And you know, a lot of them will tell me that you know, their kids aren't asking for toys. Like I had a lady with like an 11-year-old, and she's asking for like you know, some of these like high like makeups, you know, like exfoliation face masks and stuff because. Or like she has a son that asks for like jeans and short and shoes, you know, if you got that drip because a lot of them will watch TikTok and will see like, oh, here's my skincare routine or here's like my latest drip and shit. And so they want to emulate that. And, you know, I feel like it's kind of sad, you know, like these kids younger and younger, you know, just kind of being corporatized and like, you know, watching these ads on TikTok. And it's like, I mean, to be fair, like, yeah, you know, watching ads for toys, this isn't necessarily any better in that regard, but I meant like, you know, at least kids are, I feel like they're getting older in that way.
Yeah,
I know what you mean.
Kids stay kids like, I mean, wanting toys a kid thing, and you know, playing with toys is not exactly bad for a kid. It it really works your imagination compared to today. They just sit in front of the iPad forever, and apparently people, including kids, actually put shit on automatic and watch everything. That's insane to me. Because as a kid, I will not watch the show that I didn't like. Or I will watch it like on the side while I played with toys or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, people just want to be spoon-fed content now. And it's like, I guess all of us are guilty of that to some degree, but it's like...
I enjoy the hunt. I feel
like standards have gone down like dramatically for all people in the past like decade or so.
No, yeah, I feel that. But here, I mean, okay, I don't want to go too far in that, but one thing I also liked about Cinematic Titan, like coming back to it, because I did watch it like when it originally aired way back when, but seeing it now, like, you know, that wasn't on my shitty CRT TV, it's like, it really looks good. Like, now that it's in 1080p and like seeing it clearly in high definition, it's like, wow, this was like really good. I imagine it was hell of expensive when it was coming out.
Tartakovsky is a god tier animator. He can take the most mundane stuff and make it interesting with use of colors and shadows and shit. He's just one of the best in the world.
No, yeah, and I love, this is kind of a weird thing to talk about, but I love, like, and you see this in Samurai Jack too, but I love how, like, they set the mood with some of, like, their shots and, like, you know, what they choose to focus on. One of my favorite scenes, like, out of the whole series, are usually when it's kind of, like, quiet. You can see, like, the background. It takes it in, like, I mean, not to get too much into spoilers, but, like, for example, the episode with Octus and everyone else is, like, frozen. And, you know, he kind of walks through the earth and, like, and you see everyone just frozen still in these perilous situations. And, you know, you have this eerie silence to it where he's, like, the only person walking. And I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was freaking great. So should we go into spoiler chat?
I have nothing particular to say about spoilers, though. Should we?
I don't know. There's only one season, and it feels like the setup for this big, epic world that it's trying to build, and it just never happened because the series was not popular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Truly a shame, dude, because it like, oh, man. It was really enjoyable. I think a lot of kids would really like it if they gave it a chance.
Yeah, in an alternate universe, this became a gigantic hit instead of, I don't know, Steven Universe.
Okay, here, actually, I kind of want to, like, talk about that, because that's also another thing I, like, again, because I remember watching it airing versus now, and I think, and some people even talked about this, but I think, like, it was a bit too mature for some of these kids, and like not to like shit on kids or be like, oh man, they don't have any nuance, but I feel like some stuff, like especially with the high school stuff, it's very like, you know, now that I'm older, I can kind of relate to that more and I can like understand it more, but I feel like to a kid it can be very just like kind of uninteresting, or just they can't really see a lot of the weight, like some of the, even when it kind of relates to characters, like, you know, like Ilana having, you know, trying to be her own person, or you know, the episode with her and the cheerleaders. Like, you know, I could see, like, the value in that, but I can imagine, like, for some kids, it's just like, eh. And even, like, the more serious things, like, you know, a lot of Lance's, like, edgy past and shit. I don't know how much, like, someone between, like, the 8 to 11 demographic can really feel for that. So, on the one hand, I kind of can see why it wasn't as popular as some of the other cartoons airing at the time. And which is sad, but I do think it still does deserve more credit than it ever got.
Yeah, it came off as more like it was too mature for children, but too immature for teenagers. But teenagers was really the audience that it should have had.
Yeah, but
because
of all the
subject matter it goes through.
But it's a freaking cartoon, man, so I don't know.
Right, but yeah, like, when you're, I don't know, do you remember when you were 14?
Yeah. Because,
like, I remember being 14, and I was a little fucking cunt. And yeah. I was like, oh, man, I'm too mature for this shit. This is gay baby shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, and meanwhile, I still like cartoons. So.
And meanwhile, the 10-year-olds watching this will say, school sucks, bring in the monsters and robots. So yeah. Maybe that's an influencing factor on why it wasn't a success, because it tried to do too many things at once. And while I think it does them all well, it's hard to know who it's trying to appeal to.
It what it should have gone for was like the anime crowd, and that's kind of like, because it was inspired by anime, obviously, but it didn't reach them.
Oh no, it's funny you say that, because later on, like after it, they tried airing it on Toonami instead of like the regular Cartoon Network block, like a couple years after it got canceled, and I think that was like a good choice. That probably would have been better, but yeah. I think by that point. It was kind of too late. Like, what was it? For anyone who's like really autistic about cartoons and actually talks about them online, most people kind of say 2013 was kind of the end for TV and like CN in particular.
Yeah, once Netflix was a thing, it was pretty much over.
Yeah, I see old groups that. We used to have like our own kind of Toonami on YTV with like anime and stuff on Friday, and I've seen groups for years that like tried to like revive this, and they're still going on, and I'm like, bruh, it's over, it's over, bro.
Yeah, I mean, you know those people, the spiritual boomers, the millennial boomers. They just try to keep their childhood alive, and it's like, man, you gotta let it go. Like, no, it was cool and all. It was cool.
Just watch the anime subbed online like everyone else. We evolved. Like, look, I liked my time back then when I watched them dub on fucking TV because I had no other choice because of my garn bandwidth limit. But now I just simply have better. I have all the anime of every season available sub to me as they release. Why will I go back on TV?
I don't know. You were watching that Nickelodeon flashback live stream a couple of months ago, right? You seemed to be obsessed with that for a while.
To name the aftermath, but I did say that. The worst part of it is the fucking Toonami shows because they're dubs. Because they're the awful dubs. And like Dragon Ball is tolerable. Sailor Moon is kind of decent. I like watching Pokemon on it. But everything else, the dub is so fucking atrocious.
Yu Yu Hakusho, while we're on that topic, had a good dub.
I actually watched the entire show dubbed.
Yeah, same here.
I don't know. It's one of those dubs, and they cut something. They apparently cut all the parts where like the characters were constantly talking over a fight or whatever. I'm just not into this anymore. I know that Yu Yu Hakusho actually airs on the Toonami Aftermath once in a while. And I'm just not going to watch it there.
Well, it got a good dub because the guy who was the director and he played the lead character, he watched the entire series in Japanese before recording the first episode.
That should be a requirement. Damn, that's for all crazy. These.
Somebody cared?
Yeah, that guy was devoted.
Somebody who works in the anime industry actually enjoys anime? That's fucking wild.
That's crazy.
Yeah, his name's Justin Cook.
Oh, yeah, you've heard. If you've watched any anime in the past, like, ever, you've heard of Justin Cook. You've at least seen his name in the credits.
So, y'all ready for spoilers?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yep.
Sure.
All right, so, I guess, how do y'all... Okay, you've already said your favorite character is Octus.
Yes.
What was like? I guess what made you love him? I assume it's all going to be the same answer for y'all anyway.
He's a robot, and as an autist, I am like a robot. There, I said it.
Literally,
are you elite hacksaw?
More or less, this like the having the kind of robot who is just kind of like attempting to understand thing, and him like being the dad character at the same time, and then at school being like the nerd and actually somewhat acting like it. It's just kind of funny. It's just like a really good character.
No, yeah. I feel it too. It's kind of interesting seeing like all three of them alchemate. Like, you can argue Octus probably adjusted to high school life like the best, despite being the nerd.
Yeah. I think Octus is the most well-rounded character. Like, not to say that the other ones are one note, but they kind of have a sort of archetype.
Yeah, they're Octus two notes.
They're two notes at least. But Octus is like, he actually has like some more depth to him, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is rare for robot characters that, you know, aren't Astro like, Boy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I haven't seen like that kind of like development of like an artificial life form character since like Nier Automata, but I'm not going to get into that right now.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, even with that said, I think Octus is definitely one of the strongest like characters and just parts of the whole show, but I do think they all kind of develop, or at the very least, like, you know, I think they grow together like throughout the course of the show. You know, it's kind of easy to say that, like, you know, they could have just stayed on Galuna, like just as a story point, they could have just all stayed and, you know,
gotten the high killed.
Or like they didn't need the high school shit, right? Like, but I feel like I feel like putting them into like this weird situation where they kind of escape from war and then go into high school, like, it was more than just to make the show, I guess, relatable, but I think it kind of helps like really see these characters in different light. I think, like, especially with Lance, because, you know, he's just kind of like hardened soldier who like mostly knows fighting, and, you know, despite being like very strong in his morals, he doesn't really have like the biggest attachment to Galuna. Like, you know, everyone, he kind of had a rough childhood. Everyone just kind of treats him like shit. He's like this renegade soldier no one really respects, but despite that, he's still like very loyal and still does what's right. And so to see that kind of character go into being like a high school teenager was very interesting. And like, yeah, especially like the first part where he just kind of loses purpose for a bit. Like, you know, he tries to like do vigilante shit and he's just like, man, why do I even go here? But then he learns to like have an emo band and shit. And he's like, man, maybe life isn't too bad. Maybe working with people isn't too bad. And I like that a lot.
Yeah. I love the death metal band they had in episode 10, I think.
Yes. I love the grunts and growls. Very, very cool.
No, and I not, love that. Lance, not to say that because I sound like a death metal growler.
Wait, can you do that? Like, could you sing?
What, right now?
Can you?
All right, volume warning for headphone listeners.
Wow.
Very Metalocalypse.
Why?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I felt like the characters kind of looked like Metalocalypse characters, but I didn't want to. I don't know. I felt like that was like it could have been a reference, but I didn't want to say it.
Really? Yeah, I wonder if Brendan Small had any part in this.
But speaking of that episode in particular, because yeah, that was like the episode with Kimmy. The song at the end where, like, you know, when Titan is fighting that, like, manta ray thing and she's just like listening to music in the background. Apparently, that song is like from an. It's called Space. It's by A Flock of Seagulls. So that was pretty cool.
Oh, that old man.
Yeah, they did crappy synth pop in the 80s.
But yeah, like it just goes back. Again, the show's like very 80s.
Yeah, Symbionic Titan. I liked it a lot. I'm probably gonna rewatch it in a year or two because there was a lot of cool stuff happening, and I couldn't quite take it all in at once. And I could easily see myself as a kid getting obsessed with this series like I did with Batman and Gargoyles when I was a kid.
Pretty sure I will have liked
it. There was this one scene from, I think it was episode 16, that really stuck with me, where they're fighting on Galluna. It's like the episode where they escape. It's like their prequel story. And there's this scene where he's like fighting this, like, Lance is fighting this, like, general guy or whatever that was like the traitor. And then it, like, they go off screen and then you see their shadows fighting. It's like, oh man, that was a cool shot.
Yeah, look freaking red.
No, I love like
It's
the
like, oh.
whole fight, like that whole fight with him and the general. That was pretty cool. Well, one of my favorites was when like the general knocks Lance through a window, and there he's like standing on the outside of the palace, and he looks and sees like all the devastation and fighting going outside. I thought that was a very really cool shot. That was really awesome.
There was a lot of cool shots in this show. It is just, damn, this show should have got more. That's all I really have to say.
And that it looks great. The story has potential to be great, but it just wasn't popular.
So I looked a little bit. I did a little bit of research. There was a lot of, well, again, there was quite a bit of reasons. One of the biggest one is they couldn't get a toy deal, despite despite how plastically some of the mechs look. Especially in time. And I think Gendy said on record that like this losing this show or having this show get canceled was kind of like one of the worst days of his career. Because like up until this point, like especially with Dexter and Sam Jack, like he mostly got a lot of what he wanted, right? Like I mean Samurai Jack kind of did like leave prematurely, but like that was still 4 seasons. I think it was like what over 50, like 52 episodes or a little bit more than that. And I think he kind of said he was about done with that show, but Symbiote Titan, he was really sad about. Apparently, they had already written another 10 episodes for season two, and then he was like called into the office and like, okay, I'm sorry, we can't make this anymore. And he was really devastated that.
Ah, poor bastard.
And to make matters worse, it was also written off for taxes, meaning that
Of course.
yeah. So I think legally they can't air it on Cartoon Network proper anymore. Like I said, I think they aired it. I don't know if this was before or after they wrote it off, but they did air it on like the Toonami block, and apparently it came on Netflix for like a year and then like dipped off. And there was like one CD sale in Australia, like or DVD sale in Australia, but otherwise it's been like unless you have like I forgot what it is, like Apple iTunes or whatever, you can't really there's not a way a lot of ways to get it and watch it.
Yeah, just sail the seven seas. You can say it on this podcast.
Do you think there's any chance of it getting picked up again?
I saw a article and he talked about it. He said he like Gendy himself said he'd love to, but there's a lot of hurdles to get through. One, I think it is possible to get a show back from like a tax write-off. You just have to pay for it, and I think the one of the I could be wrong, but I heard the price is 10 million. So we just need to
Oh,
crowdfund that,
shit.
guys. 10
Yeah.
million, we can do it, guys.
Oh, shit,
We
dude.
got that. I signed the petition back in 2013. We just need to fucking rally together. We can bring it, guys. Season two. We
Look,
got this.
Weevil, you're gonna have to take one for the team and marry a Saudi billionaire.
Bruh.
That 10 million, that will be that will be tough even for Kickstarter, I think.
Yeah,
Yeah.
this does not have enough
Yeah.
fans for that.
Yeah, again, plus and like, no fans. He's also working on other shows. He's working on Primal, which I also recommend. It's a really nice show.
Yeah,
If
Primal's good.
Primal.
if you I guess if for whatever reason you thought like Symbiote Titan was like too much character focus, too much drama, then watch Primal. It is like there's like no
Yeah,
dialogue.
it's
It's
like
almost all like action and gore.
the adventures of Grugman and his pet Dino.
Literally. And he's also working on another show. It's called Unicorn Warriors Eternal. I've actually caught up with it. It's like season one already finished.
Is it any good?
It is kind of the opposite of Primal. If again, like Unicorn is very like character focused and has a lot of drama. In fact, I'd say it's even like melodramatic, very like kind of not over the top, but very like
What the hell is
very
Betty
a little bit
Boop?
hammy.
What the hell is Betty Boop doing here?
Yeah, the art style is very interesting. Like it looks very like Max Fleischer, like old 30s cartoons. So that might also be a bit of a turnoff to some people. It's from what I've seen so far, again, I've watched all of season one right now. It is okay. I can't, there's not too much I can say about it, really. I haven't really fallen in love with some of these characters or their adventure. It's a very weird show.
Maybe he saw Cuphead and thought he could do his own retro cartoon style.
He was going to, so this was when he was working at Sony, and he made a Hotel Transylvania, and he was going to make a Popeye movie, but that never came to fruition. And I guess he really loved, like, that kind of bouncy cartoon animation, like, you know, that you saw back in, like, the Rubber Hose era, and you wanted to make something like that, or at least utilize the style again, because, like, Unicorn isn't that, like, silly.
Yeah, watch recent episodes of One Piece if you want to see some of that style. No spoilers.
Talking of One Piece, they announced the anime remake by Wit Studio and Netflix.
Oh yeah, shit.
You're gonna have to watch it now, yeah. Filmo.
God damn it. Fuck now, you guys.
Now we have four versions of One Piece. The manga, which is still going, anime, the remake, and the live action version.
I hope it's dramatically different from the original, so now people have to watch double the amount of One Piece to get the whole story.
I hope they're not gonna rush it, because if I recall correctly, for Shaman King, since the old anime do cover, like, the first part correctly, they reanimated, but, like, very fast, and I hope that they don't do this for One Piece. I hope they just do it fucking properly. I believe, according to, I have to find the all right, so apparently, according to someone, the show started at a pace like 2.5 chapters per episode, with currently 1,092 chapters. They could do the manga in about like 436 episode, maybe.
Hard to say. This remake could be totally different for all we know.
Another someone say about like 257 episodes. So yeah, it depends. But I just wish that if they're doing a One Piece Kai, I want them to do it properly, and them having Wit Studio doing it is a good sign, I think.
Yeah, hard to say. We have so little information.
But anyways, I digress what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh,
led to me talking, saying this?
We're talking about Tartakovsky cartoons.
I think I said Rubber Hose, and you just immediately thought about One Piece. but okay, like, you know, before we end off, I just also want to mention, I love the military mech, the hammer. I thought that was very cool, just as its own thing, like to see like a more like bulky kind of prototype mech fighting around, and like, you know, it's not as slick as the Titan, but, you know, it still kind of packs a punch. Yeah. And it's this, like, heavy behemoth. And that was very cool, just seeing it fight and like, trying to do shit.
You might like the manga Cannon God Exaxion. It's by the guy who did Gunsmith Cats. But he did his own take on the giant robot genre. And the Cannon God Exaxion itself is this colossal thing. Like, fuck, it's the size of a city, and the way he draws it, it feels that way. It's this big, heavy slab of metal. It's just great. Sorry, please continue.
No, I might check it out. Yeah, no, it sounds cool. I'm not the biggest, like, mecha fan ever, but I do love, like, you know, those kinds of mechs, like those big ones, like, like, again, like the hammer, and I think another one I saw was, like, a giant robo. I saw those OVAs, and like I love that one. It's just so big. It's just like this like big thing on Earth, and it's like very cool, very cool, very triggers my autism a lot. But yeah, here's an interesting question. If apparently one of the planned episodes was going to be he described it as a 70s style musical. Would y'all want that?
Maybe he could pull it off, but that sounds annoying.
Yeah. I don't know about that one.
Then again, my favorite movie is a musical.
What's your favorite movie?
The Hobbit animated movie.
Oh. All right.
See, and this is why we can't get season 2, because y'all are ungrateful and, you know, we can't have good things in this world.
I didn't even hear about this show when it was airing.
You should have been a better consumer.
No, honestly, it is my fault that Symbiotic Titan never came to fruition, because as much as I liked it when I was a kid and when it aired.
You didn't buy the non-existent toys.
No, I didn't watch it enough, because that was when Adventure Time came out, and I'm not even that was like my that was the show I loved. You know, in a separate reality, I would have a Symbiotic Titan poster instead of an Adventure Time poster, but you know, the heart wants what the heart wants.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to accept that you were cringe, and it's all your fault.
I like to... have y'all ever seen the Thundercats reboot, the 2013 version?
I haven't.
I saw videos making fun of it.
No, I don't mean like the CalArts looking one.
Oh, then no.
It's an... Wait, have y'all not heard of it or seen it?
I've heard of it. I haven't seen it.
I think I know what you're talking about, but yeah, I didn't see it.
It looks like an anime.
I haven't seen anything Thundercats.
Yeah, I couldn't give two shits about Thundercats. Yeah. I'm not a furry.
The original Thundercats was mostly animated in Japan, so it looked good, but it was the story was the standard Ninja Turtles shit.
Like, very campy?
It was designed to sell toys, like most children cartoons.
Yeah, but I have not seen this version from 2011.
I'm checking the screenshot, and man, it does look like an anime.
No, yeah, that was... Okay, so this was, like... Again, I've never seen, like, the, like, 80s Thundercats, but I assume it's a lot more... I guess it's like He-Man, right? Like, very... A little bit campy, but mostly action, and yeah, like, to sell toys, right?
It's probably not good if it's compared with He-Man.
No, but I mean, either way, so this is kind of was supposed to be like a more serious, like real-ish take on that. Like, so I saw it when it was coming out, and it was pretty all right. I didn't like, I won't say anything. I just don't want to, I don't want to spoil it in case y'all ever want to check it out.
Watch it on Shitposter sometime.
The Thundercat, the 2011 cartoon, is animated in Japan.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, we should watch this sometime.
It's Studio 4 Degrees. They did the... Aaron did the one that did the Berserk movies. Yeah, they did the Berserk movies.
Which looked okay, aside from some questionable CG choices.
They were done too early. They needed just like 2 fucking years.
Yeah, still better than Berserk 2016.
But anyways.
It also sadly got cut short. I think it only lasted like 13 episodes. Don't quote me on that. But I also personally take responsibility for that downfall too, because I remember when it was airing, like the season premiere, all the commercials for it. But I think Phineas and Ferb, their movie, was airing at the same time. So I distinctly, like, that's a core memory inside my brain of, like, changing the channel from Cartoon Network to Disney Channel. And, yeah, again, I'm sorry, y'all. I killed action cartoons in the West.
Remember what they took from you. More Thundercats.
No, but it was animated beautifully. Like, even on, like, my shitty TV, I remember it looking, like, pretty good. Some of the choices, again, like some of the more plot choices at the end, even like as a kid, I was like, why did they do this? Why? But I mean, otherwise, it looked, it was like a fairly like good, action cartoon.
All right. Anything else to say on this episode before we wrap things up?
Watch Symbiotic Titan.
Yeah, it's good.
Yep.
See you later.
All right. Good night.